Acts chapter number 1. Thank you, Thomas. Isn't it great to be alive? You got your Bibles with you. Hold them up. You got your Bibles with you. We got a couple cell phones holding. Oh, that's okay. That's all right. Just make sure the battery's good. All right. And understand, I heard a preacher once say that if you have the written Bible, the battery never fails. Amen. But I appreciate you having your Bibles here. And if you're on your cell phone, that's okay. All right. I do that from time to time and enjoy that, enjoy those apps. But appreciate you being here. Acts chapter 1, we're looking in verse number 15. Acts chapter number 1, we're going through Acts. We're a church on a mission. Church on a mission. Okay. Acts chapter 1, verse number 15. Now, before we get to read verse number 15, let's recap what's going on. Acts chapter number 1 is a great chapter. It's a transition chapter in the Bible. How Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. Every time every time that sequence is announced, we ought to say amen, because that's the gospel, and we ought to be excited about the gospel, that Jesus Christ died for us, was buried, and he lives today because he rose again. That's exciting. And there's a group of men and women who got to see Jesus Christ. And Christ told them in his last words to them to be witnesses and commanded them to start the local New Testament church. And as they did so, they saw him ascend. And then they went to the upper room and spent time in prayer. And we see that. And in the upper room, we see Peter here in verse number 15. He rises up and starts to speak. It says, "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the numbers of names together were about 120. "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us, and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. It was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Akadama. That is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in this book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein. His bishopric or position, let another take." We'll talk about this thought this morning. Peter, a biblical leader. Peter, a biblical leader. Lord, be with us now as we speak your word. Help me, speak through me, do what I cannot do. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach with our church this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've ever studied Peter, what a roller coaster life spiritually. You remember his calling, his following of Jesus, and what an exciting story that was. In Matthew chapter 4, we notice in verse 18, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew's brethren, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him." What a decision Peter made back then to follow Christ. I don't know if Peter fully understood what he was going to go through when he made that decision. I don't believe Peter fully understood where his life, where Christ would take him when he made that decision. But the best decision Peter ever made was to follow Jesus Christ. That's the best decision we could ever make, to follow Jesus Christ. There was more decisions in that one decision. He listened to Christ speaking to him. He left his nets there. What do the nets mean to a fisherman? That was everything to them, wasn't it? I would much rather have a boat than nets, but I mean, nets were important. They were spending time cleaning these nets, getting ready for the next day. And Jesus comes by and says, follow me. And he doesn't say, wait a minute, let me put these nets away. Let me go take these nets back to my house and put them in the shed so they don't get into the weather, so we'll have them maybe if this doesn't work out. What did he say? He says, look, the Bible says that they left their nets there. They spent all night using those nets. They spent all morning cleaning those nets. They left those nets there and they followed Jesus Christ. What a decision Peter made. His step of faith revealing his lack of faith. You remember Peter was the one that walked on the water with Jesus. We talk about sermons of getting out of the boat and stepping onto the water. Matthew chapter 14, we see in verse number 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. What a great phrase. Peter didn't say, Jesus, if it's your will, allow me to walk on the water. He said, if it be thy will, let me come to you. The important thing about walking on the water was that's where Jesus was. That's where Jesus, he made a decision to step out of the boat and get onto the water because he wanted to go see Jesus. And then the storm came. Now, how much faith did it take Peter to get out of the boat and to stand on that water? It's a lot of faith. That's a lot of faith. I mean, I don't know what was swimming in that water. I don't like going swimming in any water that I can't see the bottom. I don't know if you noticed this or not about me, but I do not float very well. I'm not very good at floating. And you do not want to see me in a life preserver. It's not very becoming of me. I don't like that. And boy, would it be a miracle if the Lord allowed me to walk on water. It was a miracle for Peter. And he stepped out of the boat in faith, right? But then the storm came. What happened when the storm came? Peter started fearing the storm more than he feared Jesus. When he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. Can you see this? Jesus said, okay, I'm coming to get you. And he grabbed his hand from him going underneath the water. Now, I don't know if his face was under the water by then, if he's spitting up water. But he caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. Wait a minute. Didn't he just step out of the boat onto water having faith in you? And then Jesus says, O thou of little faith. Oh, thou little faith. All it took was a storm. See, when the water was calm, he was okay with it. But when the storm came, that was tough. What a great life we see in Peter. It seems like there's roller coasters of time where there's a lot of faith, and then he gets to the bottom where there's little faith, and then a lot of faith, and then little faith. We also see Peter's empty promise. In Luke chapter 22, in verse 31, it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. By the way, that's true of all of us. Satan wants us. He wants us to die spiritually, so that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, the Lord, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And that's something. Before that rooster starts crowing, you're going to deny me three times. This is the man that just said, I'll go to prison for you. I'll do anything for you. And Jesus says, nah, I know your heart, Peter. You're going to deny me three times. You're going to deny me three times. It was empty, wasn't it? But there was something about Peter. We come to Acts chapter 1. And out of all the disciples, Peter stood up. Acts chapter 1 and verse 13, we come to whose name is there. And in those days, Peter stood up. There was still something about Peter. I want to tell you something this morning. There are no perfect leaders. You with me? You weren't looking for a perfect pastor. If you were, you didn't get one. I'm just telling you that. And you probably know that by now. You didn't get a perfect pastor. You're not going to. You're not a, I'll just be honest with you. I hope this doesn't offend anybody. But you're not perfect. Okay? I don't know. Somebody might be having a bad hair day today. Just imperfect, right? I don't know, somebody might have a stain on their shirt. I just got a new shirt from Joseph A. Bank. We went to Cracker Barrel last night, okay? I don't like having to sit beside my children while they're eating and I'm eating. I don't know what's worse, going to Olive Garden with your children in a white new shirt or finger painting with your children in a white new shirt. I mean, it could be that it's amazing to see how much food gets on you. I mean, if you understand what I'm talking about, parents out there, we understand, yes. I could show you all these stains. That's from this and that's from that. You get a new shirt, and I don't think I have one shirt in my closet that doesn't have a stain, but it's great when it's behind the tie, right? All right, that's why I'm not for Bow Tie Sunday. We have imperfect things, don't we? But God still wants us to be biblical leaders. Isn't it amazing? If Peter can be a leader, then so can you. Well, what about Peter's personality? He was boisterous. God wants us to be a servant leader. He desires everybody to be a leader. Some he may want to lead 500 people. Some he may want to lead 5. But God wants us to be leaders. Biblical leaders. How was Peter? How did he become a biblical leader? What made Peter a biblical leader? Number one, we see he was humbled. He was humbled. We want to get it right every time, don't we? Huh? Well, we want to be right every time. That it's hard for us, guys. Ladies know this about us. It's hard for us to say, I'm sorry. It's my fault. I'm sorry. It's nobody else's fault. Here's what we like to do, fellas. You know, I'm sorry, but if you hadn't, right? That's not worth anything, right? I'm sorry, it's my fault, please forgive me. And Peter had to many times come to that realization of, I'm sorry, I messed up, it's my issue. It's not about reacting to somebody else, it's I'm in charge of my own actions. I'm in charge of my own attitude. It's not somebody else outside forcing me to have a bad attitude. It's me in charge of my own attitude. And I've got to come to a realization that it's my choice to humble myself and say, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and the great ones exercise authority on them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be the great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. That's in Mark chapter 10, verse 42 and 44. What's happening there? Lord, which one's going to sit next to you in heaven? Well, which one's going to be up in front of everybody, Lord? Is it going to be me? Is it going to be me? And Peter was part of this conversation. And Peter was part of this lesson. He said, God said, listen, whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant. of all. The misunderstanding is he who has the most authoritative. If you have a loud voice and you can speak with authority, that's a leader. No, not necessarily. He who has the loudest voice, he who is the strongest. You got to be the strongest to be a leader. No, that's not true. Biblical leadership begins with humility. Did you hear me? Biblical leadership begins with you dying to self. Dying to self. We already covered that we should all be biblical leaders, but we must first die to self. What does that mean? I don't have to have it my way. Do you hear that? I hope that sinks in. It doesn't have to be my way. We want it our way, though, don't we? We want it my way. It should not be the leadership that says it's my way or the highway. Usually doesn't last. It's not biblical leadership. Because leadership begins with humility. Remember the times that Jesus allowed Peter to be humbled? Peter walked on the water, but he got his eyes off of Jesus, and then he started sinking. Jesus allowed him to sink. You think Jesus just kind of stood back and said, oh, now he's sinking? Jesus gave him the power to walk on the water. It was only by the power of God that he was on top of the water at that point. Jesus saw in his heart and allowed that to happen to him. And Peter was humbled. Peter, you're going to deny me. Oh, no, 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 no. I'll do anything for you. No, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Can you imagine that moment when the rooster crowed and he made eye contact with Jesus Christ? What he felt like? How many believe he was humbled at that time? Huh? I mean, believe that eye contact with Jesus, you're like, oh, I know, I'm in the wrong. How many of you know that when he made eye contact with Christ at that point, it was like, I remember the conversation we just had. And I said I'd go to prison for you, and now I denied you because I feared for my life. We say things like this, I'm a moron. 99% of the time it's true, right? At least when I say it. Peter probably thought that same thing. Oh, I did it. I did it. How is this man even a leader? He denied Christ. Here's how. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. God brings us to a point where he molds us like the potter. He wants us to come to that point where we're soft and we're ready to be molded by God. It's not our way, Lord, it's your way. Not my will, God, thine will. Samuel Bringle, who was an early Salvation Army official, was once introduced as the great Dr. Bringle. He later wrote in his diary, and I want you to listen to this, "If I appear great in their eyes, the Lord is most graciously helping me to see how absolutely nothing I am without him, and helping me to keep little in my own eyes. He does use me, but I am so concerned that he uses me, and that it is not of me the work is done." Listen to his illustration. The axe cannot boast of the trees it has cut down. It could do nothing but for the woodsman. He made it, he sharpened it, and he used it. The moment he throws it aside, it becomes only old iron. Oh, that I might never lose sight of this. Remember, it's God working in and through us. For me to become the leader that I need to be, I need to humble myself and allow God to work in and through me. Ephesians 6:4 says this, "One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." 1 Corinthians 1:27. "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Say, "Pastor Creed, how can I be the leader God wants me to be?" First of all, you need to become weak. You need to become weak. That's not popular, is it? Be the best you can be. Preach your truth. That's what the world tells us. The Bible tells us, be weak. Be weak. He's talking about our flesh. Die to self. I love what Lee Robertson says. Die to self. Die to criticism. Die to compliments. Die to self. Die to self. We see that Peter was humbled. He became weak. We also see he was faithful. He was faithful. If anyone could have quit, don't you think it was Peter? Do you think that he was embarrassed? He was the guy that denied Jesus Christ not once, not twice. How many times? 3 times. Yet he still showed up. How many times do we embarrass ourselves, or do people get embarrassed because of something they've done in church and you never see them again in church? You never see them again. And Peter had to humble himself and he had to say, "I'm going to be faithful." Remember on the fishing vessel when there was no fish caught? How many of you fish? All right? Rocky, how long do you stay out there before you start going home when there's nothing biting? All day? You really fish, huh? You must bring some food with you too. You know, if I'm out there and I'm with you, Rocky, you're probably not going to take me if I say this, and it's 2 hours and we haven't caught anything, man, I got stuff to do. Let's go. I got to get back. This is a waste of time. What are we doing out here? There's no fish. Huh? I'm done. Let's go. How many of you are with me, right? You ever been there? You're out in the water. You're just getting a suntan. That's all you're doing. And I don't get suntan. I get sunburnt. And of course, before you go out, you're thinking, this is going to be a great night, great day to catch fish. And you go out there, and what a disappointment. And the disappointment sets in, and you're like, nothing's biting. And they're in darkness. I mean, I can understand all day you've got something beautiful to look at. But they're out at nighttime, fishing all night long, with nothing to look at but each other. All the time, they're throwing the net over and over and over again. And Peter kept at it. You think Jesus knew that? You think Jesus knew that he was fishing all night and caught nothing? By the way, I believe Jesus orchestrated that. I believe Jesus kept the fish away all night. Peter's probably thinking something is wrong. These fish are not... Man, I am so tired. I got nothing to show from it. Let's cast one more time. This man tells us to cast, let's go cast. The amazing thing about Peter was he kept fishing. He kept fishing. Isn't that amazing? We're going to look at Acts as we preach through Acts. It was so amazing to see. It's so amazing to see Peter threatened. In just the third and fourth chapter, we see that him coming to the temple to pray with John, and they see a lame man, and the lame man looks at him, and he's begging for money, and he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. I give you Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ." And this lame man gets up and walks in the power of Jesus Christ, and thousands are saved at the temple and believe in Christ. And then the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they get a hold of him. And they said, "If you don't stop, we're going to kill you. We're going to hurt you." How many times did Peter hear that over and over? But what did he do? He kept fishing. He kept fishing. Kept throwing the net out. Kept throwing that out. He was faithful. In order for you to be a leader, a biblical leader, the foundation of that is for you to humble yourself. Come low. It's not my way, Lord. It's your way. And then it's important for us to be faithful to God. To be faithful to God. It's important for us to be faithful. And it's important for leadership to be faithful. The Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Matthew 25, verse 23. "Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." 1 Corinthians 4, 2. Moreover, it is regarded in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see the hall of faith. The key phrase is by faith. By faith. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Joseph. Can you imagine these men in their lives? Take Joseph. By faith. Boy, he was cast into the pit, wasn't he? By his brothers. We know the story. Went through the pit, went through the palace and the prison and all that goes, and he ends up, God puts him up as a leader. Why? He was humble. He was faithful. He was faithful. There was an opportunity for him to throw in the towel. Potiphar's wife was after him. But he said, "No, that's my God that I'd be sinning against. I couldn't do that against my God. I'm faithful to my God." As I look out, I see young people. I see more seasoned people. All church members here this morning, all the church members here this morning, those that are visiting, if you're a Christian, you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know God wants you to be a leader. God wants you to be a biblical leader. It starts at humbling yourselves and it continues through being faithful. You know, Judas, we see Judas in Acts chapter 1, verse 15 through 20. We see Judas, the story of Judas. Judas not only sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, he was just a thief. He was just a thief. Well, I preached about your box, breaking your box when I came and visited here. The reason he was upset that Mary broke her box was because he wanted the money from that so he could take it for himself. He was just a thief. He didn't want anything to do with Christ. He wasn't faithful. But you know, Judas caused a gap in the 12. Peter filled that gap. Judas was the one that was unfaithful, and he found himself hanging himself. suicide. Peter filled the gap. He found himself standing in front of the disciples. He found himself seeing thousands and thousands of people being saved and God working through him. Why? Because he was faithful. The story is told about Andrew Jackson's boyhood friends. Just couldn't understand how he became a famous general and the president of the United States. They knew of other men who had greater talent, but who never succeeded. One of Jackson's friends said, why, Jim Brown, who lived right down the pike from Jackson, was not only smarter, but he could throw Andy 3 times out of 4 in a wrestling match. But look where Andy is now. Another friend responded, how did there ever happen to be a fourth time? They usually say 3 times and you're out, 3 strikes and you're out. The young man responded, sure. They're supposed to, but not Andy. He would never admit that he was beat. He would never stay throwed. Jim Brown would get tired, and on the 4th try, Andrew Jackson would throw him and be the winner. Picking up on the idea, someone has said, the thing that counts is not how many times you are throwed, but yet you are willing to be throwed. Or stayed throwed. The Christian life is a battle. You're going to get throwed. You're going to sink. There's going to be storms that cause you fear. Will you stay faithful? Will you stay at it? We have 2 more points, but I'm going to end on this. And I want to say this, as your pastor, it's important for us to build the leadership of this church. It's important for you to be part of that leadership. Everybody has a job to do. Everybody has something to do at Temple Baptist Church. And that's the exciting part, that we're a team. God has given us all something to do, but we must become a leader, a biblical leader, to allow God to use us by first humbling ourselves. Then we must stay faithful. You're not going to stay faithful by making a decision every time the storm comes. You're going to stay faithful by making a decision to stay faithful now. Because we know the storm's going to come. Why not make that decision now? Say, when that storm comes, Lord, I'm going to stay faithful to you. Let's pray.